God, I have a different teaching, but God gave me a word for tonight, so let's go with that. My people, I am by your side, and if you will listen, I will lead you into the path I would have you to go. There is absolutely nothing that I am withholding from my chosen ones. Do you see that? He's not withholding anything from you. Today marks the demarcation line. The events are going to unfold rapidly. You will have to be in motion mode at every given second. Can't be playing your game. Can't be sleeping. Can't be out there doing dumb stuff. He said, you will have to be in motion mode at every given second. This is a season for the church to shine. This is the ingathering of the saints of the cross. All of heaven has been waiting for this period of kingdom history. An event that will transcend all other kingdom events is on the horizon. You really do not want to miss this strategic event. Now, I'm going to stop here. When I look at you and say, you can't be playing your game, doesn't mean I'm talking to you. My eyes can't be everywhere in the room, all right? So if you're guilty, put the shoe on. If you're not, forget about it. Just say, God, just teach them what to do and what not to do. God goes on to say, there has not been and never will be an event like this one. Will you be a partaker of this great event, or will you be sitting on the sidelines? Children, please do not sit on the sidelines. Be about your Father's business. Take the gospel to the four corners of this earth and never once look back. There will be such excitement before you that what you left behind will be like a vapor. It's not a vape. It's a vapor. All right. The enemy is furious. And why? He lost. See, he already knows he's lost. He sees my plans unfolding right before his evil eyes. He threw everything he had at my true body of believers. See, his true body of believers. But they stood their ground, and they would not relent. If only you could see this pathetic evil one that you thought was so powerful. If you could only see him weeping and throwing one fit after another, because he has already lost. He knows what his demise will be, and he does not like the outcome. Isn't this awesome? 5 o'clock, you know, I have to get ready for church, and God said, here, I'm going to say a word to the church. So here you go. Are you ready? Yes. Are you? Oh, quit. You say yes too quickly. Are you ready? Are you really ready for the millions of souls that are coming into the kingdom? That should have been a question mark there. Do you have your ducks in order? Do you have your ducks in order? He told her to get her ducks in order, so there you go. Do you have your trust in me? Get it together, little ones. Get it together. You have no more time for little side road trips. It is all or nothing. You hear that? No more sin trips. It's get in or get out. Then God said, trust, trust, trust. It is all about trusting me in every area of your life. Now, that's what he gave me this evening. Now, what I'm going to do now is read a prophetic word that God gave us in March. Guys, you're not taking God serious enough. You don't have no fear of the Lord. And I feel sorry for you because your consequences are going to be great. You make excuse after excuse after excuse why you can't get it together. God is not looking at any more excuses. He really isn't. He's looking for faithful servants who will say yes and then stay straight and go all the way with him. I might give you grace, but God's not giving you no more grace. He really isn't. It's all or nothing. It's just flat all or nothing. Some of you sitting in here tonight, you've been in this church long enough, you shouldn't be doing the things you're doing. And God's finished with it. Because you are sitting here doing things you shouldn't be doing, and souls are dropping into hell every second of every day. Now, what are you going to do when you stand before God on Judgment Day? Because he's going to ask you why this soul got lost and why that soul got... What's going to be your excuse? You're not going to have one. Just not going to have one. All right. Now let's look and see what he said in March. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 12. And each went straight forward wherever the Spirit was about to go. They would go without turning as they went. Each went straight forward wherever the Spirit was about to go. They would go without turning as they went. All right. One thing that the Reverend Nair talked about was your timing in God. You know, God, I was born again when I was 50, and I said, God, when I got all excited when I realized what being born again was all about, and I said, God, I've wasted 50 years of my life. He said, no, you didn't. This is the time that I had you born for, right at this time. Not before this time, but right now. And so you have to remember this, that God always has correct timing. And he calls you into the ministry at the time he really, you might be going to church all your life, and all of a sudden, one day, boom, God just touches you in a different way, and God starts teaching you how to follow him differently than you used to follow him. Always went to church, but I was never born again. And God waited till I was 50, and then he touched me with a mighty touch, and then used me mightily, and been using me ever since. So, no, none of our days are wasted is what I'm trying to say. Well, what God told me too, he says, all your life I've been training you for this time frame in your life. You know, like my father always, I was a second child, and he always made me be accountable for everybody. And he was teaching me how to be a leader. So everything I went through from the time I was born until I was 50, God was always lining me up so I could work for him. So your years weren't wasted. Even if you was in the world, your years weren't wasted, because what you were going through, God was going to use once he called you to help minister other people that were in the mess you used to be in, but you're no longer in it. This, God said, this day we are forging forward into a brand new dispensation of time. What worked in the past era will not work in this era because of the nature of the work that lies ahead of you. You cannot go back and apply the formula that used to work, for you will find that nothing old works in the new. This new dispensation of time will require fasting quite often, more quiet time sitting at my feet seeking instructions, loving when you don't feel like loving, showing grace and mercy more often than in the past. That's quite a little mouthful there. Why all the change, you ask? Number one, new sheep in the houses. And number two, new challenges that you have never thought of lie before you. And how many of us can say amen to that? Number three, having faith to take a step without knowing the full picture of where I am taking you. And we've all gone there, right? You are the new breeds that I have had on the backside of the desert, and I have already brought you forth to lead the great harvest into my heavenly kingdom. You are the new breeds that I have had on the backside of the desert, and I have already brought you forth to lead the great harvest into my heavenly kingdom. You will find yourselves so wrapped up in my works that you will spend the majority of your time in my houses ministering to the lost sheep that I am sending to your houses of refuge. See, God had us put up that sign, House of Refuge, years ago, and he told me to do it, and I didn't know what it was all about, but now we know, don't we? You know, God said he was going to bring people from the four corners of the earth into here so they could be trained to do a mighty works for his kingdom. And if you look at Aaron came from West Virginia, right, Aaron? And you know, and then you don't know if that's where you came from. Virginia, is it Virginia? Okay. And he brought him here to train him so he could use him for this dispensation of time. He could have let Aaron in Virginia, you know, but he had handpicked and chosen Aaron and his brother to be here so he could use them for his glory. And, you know, some of you come from Baltimore, you know, you come from different areas, and you keep coming here to services, you know, Wilmington or whatever, and it got, because God wanted you here to train you up in the ways that he needed you to go so that he could use you to get out there and to minister to the people. And I'm hearing God say he shifts and moves people wherever he wants to. So you just didn't come here because you heard about me. God had you heard about me in the lighthouse and brought you here. You didn't come on your own. You have to always remember that. Well, my friend told me to come. Well, your friend was told by God to tell you to come. This is how it works. God said, this will be nothing like trying to get the so-called saved saved. You know, because a church, everybody sitting in a church is not saved. This is a brand new warfare that you have entered into, and all of Hades is arrayed against you. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will be familiar to you. For I have told you that old things are gone and all things are brand new. You will need to hear my still small voice at every turn, for you will need to know how to fight the new battles that are coming your way. This is a dispensation of time when I said you would need to call on the angelic host, so therefore you will need to understand all about angelic activity and their abilities to assist you in each fight you encounter. No more sitting back on your laurels, allowing someone else to do the works you are called forth to do. You will be on your toes at all times, listening and warring. The signs, wonders, and miracles that you so wanted, bring with them work. And work you shall. You shall work for the kingdom of heaven, just as Paul and my disciples did. You will be so committed to me that you will give up your very life for the gospel's sake. Why is this work so important, you ask? Children, you are preparing the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. And you can argue to your blue in the face, but I know that we are the forerunners to bring in the second coming of Jesus Christ, because God told me that back in 1980 when we started the church. And if you look back at how God's worked with us, that's exactly what we've been doing. Many are called, few are chosen. He's brought many, many people through these doors. But people say, it's too hard. I can't walk this kind of walk. But I'm still a Christian, but I can't walk holy. Are you really a Christian? Right? Come on. Only the holy and the righteous are going to see God, according to the word. All right, God said, you are getting the houses in order so my spirit can work continually. New houses of worship will spring up all over the great land, this great land. Some old houses of worship will close, but everything is working for the kingdom of heaven and the restoration of the church back to her original state, which is holiness. My son Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and your assignments are to bring the new sheep into the full knowledge of what it means to walk in righteousness with total holiness. You find that in Ephesians 5:27. That is why you had to keep going back to the furnace of affliction. I had to purge all the darkness out of you and bring you totally into my marvelous light where my glory could dwell. You didn't like the threshing floor either, did you? You didn't like the sifting either, did you? I mean, I'm saying all of us. No, we did not. We didn't like any of that. But we went through all that because of this. As glory carriers, where there was nothing but total confusion, you will bring peace. And what's God been teaching us? How to walk in peace, hasn't he? You will bring peace to troubled lands. You will bring structure on all sides. Sometimes I think that's an impossible task. I've been trying to bring structure. When I was sick, you know, I went in church for, about 2 months, and God said, you need to get back in the house of God and get control of it again, because it's going out of control. So I had to get back here, sick or not, pain or not, and start bringing structure back into the lighthouse. God said, you will see the blind eyes opened to see my gospel as it truly is, not as some man says it is. You will be partakers with the heavenly kingdom, and you will travel to my kingdom anytime you so desire. You ready to go on a trip in a chariot? He said, you can go. He said this back in March. None of us have gone on that trip yet. Why am I going to allow this to happen? You need divine heavenly guidance to walk through this new dispensation of time. The roads you traveled in the past are gone, and what lies before you is brand new. Amen. I can say amen to that. You will not know which way to walk unless you have spent time at my feet. The days of agape glory will be upon the earth, and all my chosen vessels will walk forthright in all of their ways. I have commissioned you to cross over and to do this mighty works of preparing the way for the second coming of my son Jesus. You shall be a sign and a wonder to what my son Jesus is all about. Sometimes I look at you and think, they are a sign and a wonder, God. And you'll feel the same way as you go out there and minister to people. You say, yep, they are a sign and a wonder. Amen? Astrid and Barbara went out, or Barbara and Astrid went out on the street Saturday before the parade, and you had quite a time, didn't you? And God told Barbara to buy a bullhorn, and so she used a bullhorn there, and then they used a bullhorn in the parade, and everybody loved the bullhorn. So, you know, God, so when she wrote that and said, "What do you think?" Yeah, God, if you said it, it's going to work out fine. And it did. I didn't even write back. I forgot to write back, but she went and bought the bullhorn, whether I approved or not. And see, and I don't have to approve. If God said it's that you're supposed to do, then that's what you have to do. All right, God said, "You shall never once look behind, for your eyes will be steadfast upon what I am having you to do at every given moment. I tell you, children, you cannot fathom what you have stepped into, and you cannot fathom what a great dispensation of time you have entered into. I have been raising up writers of books that will be filled with instructions on how to walk this path in newness of life. These books will be filled with the awesomeness of the heavenly kingdom." See that? "The courtroom series is so important, and some that I have instructed to write on my courtroom in heaven have been lax in their assignment. And because of this laxness, I had to find others to write these very important books of instruction." See, the new people coming in won't even know what courtroom is. You know, I didn't realize that the book itself is all about the courtroom until they started writing about it, and I started reading about it, and they started teaching about it. And I saw courtroom in there everywhere, but I never saw it before. Do you understand this? So you guys, you sit around like, and really, you need to do what God's told you to do, is write a book. If you notice the preacher up there, he said it, he wrote The Harbinger before it ever happened. And he told Alan today he was going to write only two books, but it was going to be about things that never happened yet. See, God is in control, and God knows exactly what he wants you to do. Now, if you don't want to do it like he said, I'll just go find somebody else to do it. There are also, God said, there are also other subjects that I have called people to write on, and they have dragged their feet, and now I'm going to assign others to write the instructions for me. In this new dispensation of time, you will see the healing ministry come alive once again. Absolutely total miracles will begin to take place, and all will know that my glory fills the houses. The raising of the dead will be commonplace in this dispensation. Limbs being restored will be nothing to those who believe. Where there was no eyes, eyes will appear. I tell you, children, you have seen absolutely nothing yet. Some have gone back and read about other great revivals, and they are saying, "I am restoring these revivals once again." Not so. What I'm doing is so much greater than what I have already accomplished. Remember, God told me, don't want what you used to have, because what I'm going to do with the lighthouse is so much greater than what you've already accomplished. And see, because the glory was gone, the Holy Spirit was gone, I wanted to go back to where I was and where the glory was all the time. And God said, no, I have something greater for you. Are you understanding this? Sometimes because of the sheep, you know, the whole church as a whole, because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing and being dumb like sheep are, the sheep are dumb, you know, then the leader has to also be with the dumb sheep, you know? And we have to work at getting the sheep lined up again so God's glory can fall in the houses. I hope I'm not offending anybody. If I am, just please repent right now, because you're not supposed to be offended. Because I really don't care if I offend you. Because I'd rather offend you than have you go to hell. And God told me, I'm going to hold you accountable for every soul I put under you. I'm not going to take your blood with me to the grave. All right, God said, have I not said, do not want what you used to have, for what I'm taking you into is far greater. Then if I said it, why are you reading about what I used to do? I don't, but a lot of people do. They're reading what the revivals used to be like. Move forward and quit procrastinating. Move forward in complete knowledge that what I said is already here. All you have to do is step into it. Anointing. You have seen nothing as of yet. The powerful anointing from upon high is dropping like never before. This anointing will destroy every yoke, and this anointing will bring my children forth into total victory at every turn. This anointing will not take days, months, and even years to manifest. It will manifest right before your eyes instantly. What's the anointing all about? It will destroy every yoke. It will destroy every yoke. We won't have to spend hours trying to destroy one yoke. God's anointing is going to destroy every yoke. And my constant prayer is for the deliverance ministry is have such a strong anointing that it will destroy every yoke when you do a deliverance on somebody, and they won't have to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. When I used to do the deliverance ministry, the yokes were destroyed and the people didn't come back because the anointing was there to destroy every yoke. And I know what it is to walk in that, and I know what it is to watch you guys walk, what you're walking in right now, and you're laboring in vain because if the glory was there to break every yoke, you'd be done in 15 minutes. We used to do 5-6 people a night, didn't we? Why? Because the anointing to destroy every yoke was there, and when we prayed, they were totally delivered. All right? So, what you need to pray is, God, I want that anointing that destroys every yoke manifested in my ministry. The cross is, God said, the cross is an example of a powerful anointing. My son endured all that gross punishment and gave his life to set you free. My son started this great powerful anointing on the cross, and when he said it is finished, it was finished. The anointing destroyed every yoke right then and there. So many things need to be accomplished before the second coming of my son Jesus. And you, church, you are assisting the angelic host and the Holy Spirit in this great works to bring it to pass. That's what you're supposed to be doing, are you? See, you know, ask yourself, am I really doing that? Oh, you sing of my miracles, and you even talk about my miracles, but now you will be partaker of these great miracles. Oh, praise God. I'll be so glad when that happens. You will be there, and you will see with your eyes firsthand what you have been reading about in my word. Oh, glorious day. What a glorious time you have already entered into. When I say the blind eyes shall be opened, I am saying the spiritual blind eyes of the church will now see firsthand what I have been speaking about. This holy week holds so many signs, wonders, and miracles for those who have stayed the course, passed test after test, and finally endured the furnace of affliction to the point that they are perfected in my eyes. Everything that I send you to do will be accomplished with perfect precision. Isn't that neat? There will be no mistakes. The enemy will not be able to trip you up in any way. You have already been through that school of darkness, and you have declared, I am not going that way ever again. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to nothing that happened before today. In this dispensation of time, you will never see the darkness overtake you, for you will be riding high upon the mountaintops, destroying every work of darkness that Hades has been throwing your way. The way has been cleared for you to walk on fire and not be burned. Isn't that awesome? I know we all forgot he said all this stuff, right? The enemy has used up all his arsenal upon my true chosen children. He is now looking for new ground to cover with his gross darkness. Walk, little ones, walk like never before in the newness of life that is yours to behold. Walk in calm assurance that you are covered by the blood of my son, and it is finished. Know with surety of heart that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. God gave us that scripture today for the word for the day. Rejoice, little ones, rejoice in the conviction that you are in the newness of life, and here there is no more turning back, only forward. We're not going to read all them scriptures. But, you know, as I was reading it, it just came to me that, you know, God had me teach about Job experience for the second time. The first time we taught about it, I went through a terrible trial. You all did too. And this time, you know, I just came through COVID. And then God had me teach on Job. And what he's wanting us to see is we are now going through, the enemy's trying to take us out once again. And each one of us will be attacked in a different way. And you know, and when I was really super sick for 2 months laying in that bed, there was times I really wanted to die. I prayed to die. Then I say, no, I don't mean that, God. I really don't mean that. I can endure this. If Jesus endured the cross, I can endure this, right? And so you have to keep talking to yourself. You have to keep reminding yourself of what Jesus really did and what he went through. And we're here to be workers for God. We're just not here because we're cute. You know, we're here to be workers. And if we're really working for Jesus, we're going to suffer just like Jesus did. I don't care what you say. Read your Bible. You're going to suffer just like Jesus did. It's in there. And so, you know, and finally I came through it. And then he attacked my leg and he's attacked my hearing. But I know these are all attacks trying to discourage me. So I'll quit. I'm not quitting. I don't know what might be happening to me by the next time I get in here. Because Satan doesn't quit. It's just one thing after another. I was so happy the day I was finally healed of COVID. And 2 days later, I couldn't walk. My poor family went through all kind of stuff with me. And then one day I woke up and I couldn't hear. I can't hear on my left ear at all. No, my right ear. That's my right ear. Right, right. And now a little bit of the left one's going. And I know it's all a total attack from Satan to cause me to stop. I'm going on. I'm going to heaven. I'm not backtracking with nothing. What is your conviction? What is your conviction? Are you going on? Are you going to let your child stop you from going on? Are you going to let your wife stop you, your kids stop you, or even the body of Christ stop you? We are in a time frame where God told us that Satan's finished. He sowed everything in us. You know, that's the first word I read you. Satan's finished. You are the victorious one. How many years ago did God tell us we are the victorious one? We're standing in the victory circle. And what has happened ever since that day? The devil has been throwing hell at us. Oh, I'm in a victory circle. Is that right, God? You know, but we are in a victory circle. We have already won. And you need to stop your silliness. You need to stop being upset because the truth is being preached to you. You've been sitting in churches, you've been lethargic, and you've been just, your ears have been tickled for so long, you just want to keep being tickled. You're not going to be in the glory drop. And somebody here, God's warning you, you're not going to be in the glory drop. If you can't stand the truth, which will set you free, then you sure can't stand the glory. Because he said when the glory drops, if you're not right, it'll kill you. And he told us the days of Ananias and Sapphira were coming back into the house of God. They lied, and the Holy Spirit just wiped them out. What do you want out of life? Do you really want to go to heaven? Do you really want to be used by God? Or do you just want to fool around and go to hell? It's that simple. And, you know, as forerunners, we are the preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. So that, and what did John the Baptist do? Repent. What did Jesus do? Repent. And I've been yelling at ever since 1980 when we started, repent. And do you know what? People don't want to repent. They don't want to get rid of their wicked, evil ways. They enjoy it, but I'm going to tell you, those ways are going to take you straight to hell. Tonight, you need to come to the altar. And you need to repent for not repenting. And this is what God's telling me. He says, you've said it with your lips, but he wants it from your heart tonight. The Lighthouse Church is going on. Whether you like it or not, it's going on. Amen. And you can say anything you want to about us, but God tells us in Revelations chapter 3, isn't it? About we're the Philadelphia Church. And he said he's going to vindicate us. And those who run us down and talked about us, they're going to come and sit in this church. It's not going to be, it's going to be a bigger church, but they're going to come and sit at this church and we're going to minister to them. We're in the victory circle. What do you want to do? Do you have a ministry? Where do you want that ministry to go? You want it to go all the way with God, or are you just happy fooling around? It's not about lights. It's not about titles. It's all about the Father. God told me many years ago, I was standing right there ministering. He said, you are an apostle of the Most High God. You don't see apostle in anything I have. In God's eyes, I'm an apostle. In the world's eyes, I'm a fool. I'm the devil itself. Ask some of the church leaders around here. But in God's eyes. And I don't have to go boasted. But, you know, when we first moved in this church and all the pastors were coming here, I never saw so many bishops in all my life. And I said, God, what's this bishop thing? He said, I didn't ordain them to be bishops. They ordained their own selves. And I went to minister to some church. I don't know where it was, up the road here somewhere. And I stood up there and gave that testimony. Half the church left. It was all pastors, bishops, evangelists. They left. They got convicted and left. And the ones that were truly following God stayed. And God ministered mightily to them. And they were truly blessed. See, I just go into these churches when they invite me, and I just say whatever. I just yield to God. I just say whatever. I do it here, too. I just do whatever God tells me to do. You know? And let it fall where it will. I have offended some of you so many times, you would like to kick me out. Bet you stay the course and let God get you right, and everything's fine. The altar's open, and God wants you to repent for not repenting. Amen. And if you want to be ministered to prophetically, we'll do that too. But first of all, you just need to repent for not being faithful to God.